This is a production of Cornell University.
CJC, February 12th, 19th, Brad.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Received on Friday from the Campus Life Residential Programs, which gave us feedback, along with my draft of our response. And then since I sent that on Friday, we had a couple of our people. We have the Troy draft, which was based on the Rourke draft, and then we have Louis Daly's edits to the Tory draft at the same time. We have Jeff Cassell made comments, and Kevin has made comments, and Arthur Anderson has also made comments.
Do I have them?
They were in the Tory draft.
Oh, okay.
At the bottom of the Tory draft.
Yeah, I kind of fixed to that.
And you also received a copy of the law school's report. I think I said that on Friday. So, given all the material, yeah.
Does anybody need extra copies of any of that?
Sure. There's also more comments on the website.
Okay, I didn't have a chance.
Fairly detailed on each topic by one person. I've forgotten.
Jeff Deutsch.
Deutsch.
What?
Right. But it's quite, they're quite extensive and interesting about each area.
I went to the, I went up and looked at most of the people who made comments and saw whether they were practice drafts.
Okay.
Listed that.
Okay.
So there's a question about who is what and probably have it on the computer.
Okay.
Ah,
is this?
We also have access to this guy. This is great.
Okay. Oh, good.
I need one.
I know, me too. I love it.
Is there something in particular, Marty, that you wanted to look at?
No, I'm just saying that I read all of them and felt
okay.
That they were good.
All right.
So you
they're available if you need them.
Right.
Great.
Thank
you. So the question then becomes, with all this material we have and with the people who have already started drafting for us, how do we proceed at this point? Do we want to start with Lewis's version, which worked off two previous drafts?
And that's my recommendation. I mean, I didn't change anything. All I did is I took sentences that were written kind of with too many words, and I just reduced the number of words, but I tried to keep all the content exactly the same.
Okay.
Oh.
I mean, I have no objection, so that seems to be the most reasonable thing to do at this point. And so I would suggest at this point, and I welcome any other suggestions people might have, is that we start with this and then work through it paragraph by paragraph, adding and making comments as we go. Does anybody have any objections to that? Okay. In the first sentence, the Code and Judicial Committee was given a task from the University Assembly. Do we need to state what that task is, or at least refer back to the date of the charge from the UA, or do we need to refer to something as to where that task came from?
We could, or we could simply attach a draft of the task to the letter as an appendix or something.
Ooh, can you go back to your
letter?
I think we need to say a little bit more in that first sentence about what we're doing. What was our task? Our task was to consider the substantive and procedural rules of campus code of conduct and the statement of student rights. Is that it? Something like that.
Do you want me to track changes on this, or?
Track changes probably would be good. Under tools, track changes, highlight changes. While editing, it may drive us crazy, but
I'm just going to
leave it on for now. And we might want to call this the working draft.
Is this meant to be a draft of the final report to the UA? Okay.
Well.
Okay, we're on to the first sentence. I think we need to state what the task is, and we're open to suggestions as to what that task is.
Collecting public feedback.
And making a recommendation.
Making a recommendation still based on the feedback, primarily based on public feedback. I mean, I saw us as kind of a translator or a summarizer.
We're not supposed to be exercising the attorney general.
Well, not as our primary task.
Is there a charge?
Not as a primary thing.
There's no charge, but there's a...
Yeah, there's a letter charging.
It's not a letter charging, but because I was there when they drew it up, and it was a letter, because we already had as our charge to evaluate the code, they said that they were asking us to take on the job. It wasn't a charge as, you know, I mean, not that it makes it's somewhere on the website.
Yeah, this is what you have on the website.
But if you went to actions taken, there's...
Prompted by an interest expressed by University Administration, the University Assembly recently asked the Code and Judicial Committee to A, evaluate the campus code and judicial system, and B, solicit the community feedback on the same.
Okay,
I think Kevin's right that they are asking you guys to exercise
the same objections. Well, I know that they were, but that's a really broad...
President Scorton has also asked the UA and the CJC to consider the cross report, which includes recommendations for a rewriting of the entire code and significant modifications.
No,
we
okay.
Use judgment.
It's either way.
Okay, so collect this public feedback and
How long? I was looking at your report and thinking, how long do we want to make this for the UA? I'm just asking because it's not a loaded question. I'm simply asking, do we want to have a two-page report?
Two pages would be good. Three tops.
Because then I think we should just cite collect public feedback and exercise independent judgment, and that's it. But then cite the websites formulation of what our what our task was.
Parenthetical either to the UA or to, you can fill that in later.
So what do you want?
I think what you've got there is collecting public views and exercising independent judgment and making make a recommendation to the UA. Okay, so the 3 points are correct, right?
Who is responsible for the code?
Who is responsible? And should the JA's office remain independent?
Judicial magistrate's office.
Is it office of the judicial administrator or judicial administrator office? Which do you think is
office of?
You can put OJA, I guess.
And then the third one, is that sort of has changed as we go along here? The CJC receives many comments and concerns from the Cornell community via emails, web blogs, personal contacts, and at the open forum held on February 5th. The CJC has read and simulated each comment during its task to address the important concerns that exist with both the current and the proposed code. Anything you want to change there? The responsibility of the code.
So are we worried about how this sounds, or is that the... And that last thing is not quite a sentence, though. During this task to address. But I don't know, is that what we're doing here?
Well, let's get the gist of it down, and then we can go back and polish it.
Yeah.
The responsibility of the code. Currently, the UA and the CJC are responsible for oversight of the code. Any comments to that? Through both groups, each constituent... faculty, staff, students, and staff of the university.
Which?
Is represented and actively involved in discussing the code that governs acceptable conduct in the Cornell community. The Cornell community values the independence of the CJC and the UA in the context. Boy, that's a convoluted sentence there. So we're going to polish
later. Well, I guess...
Mm-hmm. All right.
What I was imagining was going to happen today was that the discussion would be more focused on what is the committee's consensus, and that the language of the draft could be pieced together later outside of the meeting.
Well, the draft is hopefully representing the consensus. That's what we're... Am I wrong in this?
In other words, if you think a vital element is missing, then mention it as we cross-check the draft.
Okay.
Do we want to say anywhere in this paragraph that the Krauss report recommended taking the code away from the UA and CJC?
I don't think our report needs to argue specifics about
any comments on this paragraph, then?
I think... I've certainly heard that it's people feel more strongly than just a preference for the CJC and the UA continuing to exercise responsibility for the code. In this paragraph, it's just a preference. I think we should strengthen that because I feel myself and have heard from many other quarters, it's more than just a preference for, you know, French instead of Thousand Island.
Where are you, Jeff? I'm sorry.
This preference is repeatedly expressed.
Third line from the bottom of that paragraph.
How about this belief was repeatedly expressed?
Repeatedly and strongly.
Sure.
Did anybody
belief
support
was that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, support
belief
change.
Belief was, I guess.
I remember seeing anybody.
Support change in what?
Changing it to the policy officer.
The most recent comments we had from... several from the dean of a person. Where is it now? In the dean of students office, I have here.
Kevin,
yes.
Or Travis Apker.
No, it wasn't Travis. Oh, it was
Carol Gumbach.
No, not Carol.
It was Dean Hubble.
No, it was not her. it was in the letters that were sent to you, Kathleen.
Yes.
Was it from Alice?
Campus Life Residential
Program. I'm sorry, Campus Life Residential. Pardon me. Campus Life Residential.
Wrong department.
I'm sorry. There were two comments. I apologize.
Basically, Kirsten seemed to agree with everything that Barbara posted. We need to
delete preference.
Again? Preference should be stopped.
Thank you.
And Don King also.
Okay, so there were a couple people who can't say that no one wanted it. Okay. So is it strong enough now?
Head of campus housing.
He's retired.
Repeatedly and strongly expressed.
No, it's Don King.
He must have written in.
Strongly expressed in multiple comments.
Well, we say repeatedly.
I know, but I think it's putting a few to say strongly in multiple comments.
Well, you could say the overwhelming consensus or the overwhelming campus opinion expressed was that.
Are you giving some context as to how many you received? Because it's, you know.
Well, that would be done up to the top. One letter I wrote that it was 70, almost nearly, if you count all comments, formal comments made, it's about 100 formal comments.
Well, I was wondering, I actually mentioned to Jeff and Ariat in the hall, that how do you take a letter that's written on behalf of the department versus a letter that's written on behalf of an individual? How do you...
What department are you thinking of in particular?
Well, say it's the one that Kirsten wrote. Is written on behalf of the department. So just, I wasn't sure.
A residential life?
Yeah. So I wasn't sure how.
I
don't know. Did she have multiple signatures?
Yeah.
Did she have multiple signatures? Was she saying, I'm writing as a representative of the entire department of residential life?
She said, Campus Life Residential Programs would like to offer our feedback.
I see. Yeah.
And that would be a staff of approximately 40, Susan?
I would try to avoid numbers because I think that's...
I was going to say, it's not... This kind of feedback isn't really a referendum kind of feedback. It's more like it's a source of argument for one change or another and or for no change or something in between.
I don't remember reading anybody addressing the responsibility to whether Don King or a person who died. So if we're still on responsibility to code, I don't know of any comments they made towards that end. Everything that was on procedural, overloading the JA office, possibility of moving to the dean of students office, and oversight for the JA, which is not the development of the code. So as far as development of the code and maintenance and updating of the code, I don't remember them saying another body to do that.
So can we say that? Can we add a sentence that says, no one, of the numerous opinions that we received, no one expressed a wish or a desire to change the present responsibility structure.
I don't know if that's accurate. I can only cite each one, but you could go to some level of that, of just saying it's overwhelming majority, no dissension noted, conflicting opinions.
Any of the above. Which one?
No one seemed to express, I mean.
Oh, you can seem to just...
What about the way you have to sit
there? Just, yeah, but it makes it less strong and longer.
So no one...
Inactive.
I wonder if we should just say no one and then have someone assign to go back and make sure that no one is. I don't remember anyone.
But there's so many private documents and so many public documents that I just...
Of the numerous instances,
I don't remember anybody doing it, but that's...
Well, the crash report suggested that people spoke in favor of the crash report.
Can we just say the overwhelming majority of respondents expressed no desire?
Okay, that works.
The overwhelming majority of respondents expressed no desire.
How about it supported retaining the rather than express no desire?
I think they were mostly silent.
Then we're back to saying exactly what we said.
Yes, right.
So we you're essentially rephrasing something that's already written there.
So where's Joanne? Because everybody started talking.
The numbers and statistics are there. No one expressed a desire to change the present structure.
Yeah, you were being
kind of
the last
one.
Yeah.
Before
that
said
the same thing.
So
this
one
turns it into
an inaccuracy. The last line before it talks of that you're basing that on comments from community members, whereas this one is more vague and repeating what was said before.
So well, get rid of this.
Considerably more. It says that nobody dissented from this, which isn't true. But
I would say almost none.
No one on record.
I'm reading this paragraph.
I can't
speak to that.
Yeah, the demon soon sat in here and said, whoever that person was, and said that they wanted to get it inside the department.
No, that's the independence of the JA. They're not going to do it how it comes your body.
This is who has responsibility for. This is the whole idea of should it move over to the policy office or should the review process be kept here?
So what about exactly where the cursor is placed? The overwhelming majority expressed the desire to retain the present structure.
Right. Well, you were okay with that.
Overwhelming majority.
Expressed the desire to retain the present structure.
That's right.
And take out.
No, you want to keep you up the numerous.
Not when the overwhelming majority is in the next sentence, I wouldn't think, but you tell me.
Yes, because I think, Kevin, we cover it in the sentence just before that.
Yeah.
We be expressed in comments.
This is right.
Okay. Any other changes to the responsibility of the coach?
I just have a comment. Is it accurate to say that the next sentence, the opinions expressed in this letter are supported by extensive community discussion and commentary?
No, because didn't we just say that the opinions expressed in this letter,
well, again, that's where it's like the context of how much feedback you've received may be important, because you can say everybody's saying it, well, you know, I think it's important to understand that.
Could we move that last sentence to
up above
the preamble?
Right.
Yes, the preamble.
Move it to up above.
To exactly where did you want?
Probably there. Okay. Hey.
Well, that still leaves me with some questions. First of all, responsibility of the code, that should be responsibility for the code, no? To be
consistent. I changed that before.
Another thing is, I'm thinking, you know, what you want to get out of this report is why? And that doesn't get addressed at all. And I mean, I can think of some of the arguments that have been expressed in favor of that, like, you know, having a code that is accepted by the community depends on having a process whereby the whole community approves of that.
For that reason, then I was
asking from Marguerite
how long
Spencer.
We want it. How long we want it. See, right now it's two to three pages already. So I agree with you that really depends on how long we want to go on about each area. There are lots of quotes that we can
say you might just pull a handful of bullets, but I think marking it with a Y is great. We can always come back to it and see if we need to backfill the Y.
That's good.
But
so what is the Y referring to?
I also think that, I mean, you're making a pro argument for the current situation, but does the cross support make a strong con argument to it? If the cross support doesn't make a strong con argument to the current situation, it simply suggests a change without giving substantial evidence and backing, that I don't feel like it's appropriate or necessary to fight a point that hasn't been made in the first place.
Now, I think the crowd support argues, and whether or not it's successful is another matter, that for reasons of expediency, it would be best for the CJC and the UA to no longer handle this. Arthur Anderson, in his draft, I think is a good line that we might want to consider. The law school report notes that the crowd support version would expedite amendments, but expediency alone is insufficient reason to eliminate valuable democratic community participation.
Yeah, that's okay. I remember that.
Quoting that would be great then.
But, you know, some questions you might want to address is how...
Well, let's get that one in there.
Okay.
Well, the second and third sentences are all right.
In the...
Now, this is the law school one also talks about
the law school does a good job with it.
Yeah, the law school.
Make more sense just to return to it at the A. Anderson comment, and you can
we can fill it in.
I would also put
law school comment too there, and we can merge the two because the law school has a really it might have some pithy things to add.
I just want to echo the idea though that Ari made, because I think one of the criticisms I heard about Barb's report is that there are times when she elaborates a lot about the why and other times that there's not enough meat on it. And I think that it will help the decision makers, the UA, the president, the trustees, with your report really understanding the why. And I just encourage you to include that.
Yeah, I agree. So maybe the law school argument, we
and
should
also
have a digest of that as well.
Jeff has a good line too in his comments. Do you think you do that?
Jeff, which one's yours?
This would be under the Tory draft.
It comes out starting on page 3.
Yes. At the top of page 3 before
yours
number 2.
Well, I haven't modified any of that stuff, so everything like that should be the same.
Okay, so that's paragraph right at the top there. He says, the democratic imperative for a code that governs all must require that we all, in the form of the UA, write and rewrite the code. It's the paragraph just before number 2. So you're on that page.
Right there. How much do that want? Up to there?
One sentence, I think.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. We may want to go back and add to it, but that's going to give us...
And that's under the Y?
Yeah.
Make sure it's in quotes.
Do you just want to
listen?
Is that a quote
from Jeff? Yes, yeah, from Jeff. Jeff will let us know if we can come to us.
First helpful.
Can you check with my agent?
Okay, anything else to this paragraph?
You might want to address the expediency issue that's brought up in the crash report. And
wouldn't that be addressed by the law school comment?
Yeah, that's why we have in the Arthur Anderson and the law school comment. Maybe Peggy just say Arthur Anderson comment regarding expediency, and when we go back and find it, we'll know what's about that.
What I recall from that
and also Marguerite Spencer's comment about how the recommendation to the policy process that was suggested in the Crass report doesn't seem to be practical for gathering student input.
Well, that leads to just comment that it takes out. Okay. Anything else? Independence of the JA. The independence of the JA is essential to maintain fairness when community members are found in violation, are found to be in violation of the code. However, the JA will only remain effective as long as the university provides the resources necessary to allow the DA to dramatically respond to Cornell's training employees.
The one thing that...
Second line, to be in violation.
On the first sentence.
Pardon me?
Second line, to be in violation.
To be in violation. That's the first thing. But the second thing is, the first sentence, I really feel like there should be a because on that sentence. I didn't put anything there because I was just trying to... clarify, like right. Make it more readable, but I really feel like the first sentence needs a because. Like why would one be more fair than the other? I mean, you can say that, but there's, you know, you can have a fair dictator.
Right. So what do you want to say?
I think that
objectivity.
Again, we could objectivity.
Well, I think that could be maintained either way. I think that another part of this that hasn't been mentioned is the credibility of the office of the judicial, like the office of the JA, because most of the students see a move of the office JA from independence as being a move into a less trusted status. As more, you know, part of the man or what have you. So whatever the actual case might be, the credibility, I think people have definitely expressed that they would find a JA that was part of the administration to be less trouble.
But we have the Dean of Students Office who seems to feel that there's some...
Well, I mean, we're collecting public commentary from faculty, students, staff, not from the Dean
right.
of Students Office.
Because
of real or perceived risks of conflict of interest, comma, the independence of the OJA is essential to maintain fairness.
You know, some language that might help a lot with arguments about...
I like that comment.
I agree.
At the
beginning of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kevin, could you brilliantly state that
again?
Because of real or perceived risk of conflict of interest.
I
Do we want to make code capital? I wasn't sure because I found a lot of text in which code, in referring to the campus code,
it depends on if you're referring to it as the proper name as in code,
okay.
Conduct, or if you're referring to it just as a code.
Okay.
This is the article, so I would think you refer to it as the proper name, yep. Which would then be the initial cap C.
Well,
Undo.
I'm just so good at this.
Because of real perceived risk of conflict of interest, the intenders for the assistance meeting.
Well, here's an idea. What if the sentence ended at essential, and then the next sentence was, to maintain fairness and community member, blah, 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 we support maintaining the JA's independence, or something like that. I just feel like it's too...
To maintain fairness when community members are found to be in violation of the code, we recommend... Do we... Well, here's the question. Are we in consensus that the JA's office should be independent?
Based on public feedback, I haven't heard anyone desperately trying to...
Well, the only comments I've heard are from the student's office and from Kristen Hosein as the directorship of the campus...
But I've heard also, and I this is a matter of once again how long the report is and how many recommendations we need to make and where we need to make them. But some kind of vigorous liaison seems to be appropriate with the Dean of Students' Office, and I think. If you say independence, that's strong, and you know, and good to hold at the beginning kind of posture. But at what point do we want to say that it seems useful to have a vigorous chain of communication or something of that sort? There are three grounds on which the independence was questioned. One is evaluation. And I don't think that should be an issue. The other was funding, and the third was development of programs that are more beneficial.
And that gets to your communication. Keeping a way of keeping the, and Susan, feel free to chime in here. We need to keep the office independent, I think, is the consensus I'm hearing. But we need to maintain, there needs to be a flexibility in that independence that allows your office and Susan's office to work together as needed.
Isn't there a bullet to that below? Isn't that the third bullet? I think.
Well, the first bullet talks about the staffing. The second bullet talks about efficiency and effectiveness.
I see.
And the third one is providing administrative support. I think this is a separate one. I think this is a fourth one that talks about keeping the communication lines open between you guys.
And I think
not hindering you or the Dean of Students' Office by the independence. But the independence should not hinder the relationship between you.
Right.
I
was thinking the independence in operations and finances and decision making, sort of flesh out a little bit what exactly is important about that decision.
Well, the decision making may create a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I want to go back one square to talk about mentoring, and that is, I had been feeling, and some of my colleagues in the faculty had spoken to me about this, a premise that the judicial administrator's office is primarily or embedded in an educational function or having an educational role is questioned by some, and the law school brings it up very clearly.
What do you mean?
Well, the law school argument, the all student argument, is that the prime function of the GA's office is adjudication and not education.
Mm-hmm.
And that I know this is an issue for you. Speaking personally and also speaking based on comments I've had from other people, and I agree. I think that the reason independence is important is that the role is adjudication, not education. But that doesn't mean that the Dean of Students' Office might not have more of an educational initiative in the area of campus code and violations and so forth. And the liaison between the two would not be so that the JA's office would become more educational, but so that some kind of feedback through annual reports about what are the problems that you're facing and what are some possible solutions that the students' office can come up with, or programs, or or those. I think maybe that's that makes the argument of independence all the more strong, because the law school makes it so beautifully, and I was really about it. Once you start mixing education with adjudication, you run the risk of becoming A, in local parentage, B, patronizing in the way that one expects in high school but not in college. And I mean, I put it this way, that it's more educational to have an independent JA and an adjudicated process than it is to have the dean of students one, because then you're facing more reality in terms of what legal systems are.
Well, do we want to see something about that the prime function of the JA's office is adjudication, yet it is part of an educational institution. As such, the educational function should be encouraged in working with the dean of students office.
I think there are a couple ways to think about the education piece, and I don't disagree with either your assessment as an adjudicator due according to responsibility, but it's true that in our disciplinary process, it comes out of an educational model. I mean, if you look at the kinds of sanctions that are given in the main, they are not serious. And that's something that the question that's raised is whether there should be some more serious sanctions given the seriousness of the crimes that are committed. But I guess when I say education, Marty, and Kevin, what I've been thinking about, the kinds of sanctions are educationally based. You know, they're reflective papers, they're community service, they're not punishment where you just pay a fine or go serve time someplace.
Right.
So I think that's one of the educational aspects. I think the other one that you're talking about is how do you educate the community about both our code of conduct and our rules of operation and perhaps our aspirations. And that, I would agree with you, I think probably not the main responsibility of the JA. That's your other staff, your student staff, your campus life staff, your advisors and colleagues, to take on that educational role, being informed by the JA about what they're seeing year in and year out of kinds of cases and coming up with kinds of issues that they're facing.
Just to get that informational process, but also your referral process.
I'm sorry, can you do
anything? Oh, sure. I'm George Taylor. I'm just pensioning for Gary's.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you.
Gary Donatello in Florida.
So, Kathleen, I didn't capture.
The prime function of the JA is adjudication, yet it uses. What did you say? So it's an educational. Educational means it's part of this.
As a disciplinary system and an educational institution, it uses education.
I wonder whether we need to. I think we need to state the positive side that the prime function of the JA is adjudication, and the reason why it's important to keep it independent is that that is the prime function. As far as the educational matter is concerned, of course it's in a university and there's education, but there's also educational, like one has community service as a part of adjudicating civil matters, and you also have in prisons, you have hopefully educational processes as well. I'm saying is that the thing you want to emphasize in this area, it seems to me, is that the prime function is adjudication, and therefore the independence is essential. And then as far as the interface, we could say that keeping alive keeping alive a vigorous contact with the dean of students office, whose primary role is in the educational realm, will be a way of
it's independent.
I've lost it now, but it seems to me like we want to keep the contact, but we want to.
Right. You don't want the JA to be so independent that she or he can't speak to folks in the student life about what they're seeing.
Right.
Feel comfortable using colleagues and the sounding board while.
Well, that's not an independent, isolated.
Yeah.
Yes. That's good. That's good.
And that is exactly what the problem can be.
So maybe that's what you maybe you want to state the fact that you don't want independence to result in isolation.
Are you currently?
I would say that we're less isolated than we were, but it's been because we very actively have sought those relationships. And I would say my first couple of years we were more isolated.
So Peggy, did you catch what Lewis said?
No, I was writing.
I just said everyone is afraid in terms of independence, but really they're talking about isolation.
So
I mean, what Marty's been saying is you want to put a sentence in there that says, Office of the JA is judicial, Dean of Students is educational. However, in order to facilitate both goals, we need to decrease isolation by using liaisons.
Well, the independence should not hinder the
exactly
interaction of the two offices.
Yeah.
Perfect. I can't think of
I can't.
Apparently.
The independence of the office should not hinder the interaction between the two offices.
And I just want to raise the question of whether when we're saying adjudication, we really mean accountability. Because adjudication might be, just to solve the cases anyway, it takes. And dismiss them all is just a way to keep things moving.
Well, I think accountability is built into a system of using a legal system.
Well,
doesn't adjudication imply a balancing of?
A balance, yeah, I guess that's true.
Guardian.
Well, and we do address the need to have some sort of supervision. I think. Well.
Oh, I meant accountability for misconduct.
Perps. But I think that's inherent in the system. I think that system is already set up.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to raise it.
Yeah.
Do you think so, given the way the sanctions play out now?
Depends upon the sanctions. I mean, I think before she was talking about you giving people fines for downloading music. I don't think that a fine really holds someone accountable for anything. If you have, someone with parents that have a high income, then it doesn't really do anything to that person. If you have someone whose parents aren't doing anything and they have a campus job, then that affects their life more. But that might not even change their behavior. That might simply change the way in which they do the thing that they were taught for in the first place.
We do talk about the need to, after this stage, we need to go back and look at violations and sanctions. There's a number of things that more detail that we need to address. But right now we're trying to get the overall.
I think we've got the salient points. It needs, obviously.
Well, we've got next Monday too.
Right. And, tried to just capture the idea.
You did it in the first bullet point is the number of people in violation, the resources of the JA, staff, and what else?
I wanted something. Because it. What else do you need other than staff?
Funding,
what does the JA need?
Office space.
More vacation. You really want everything. I need just normal hours.
Yeah, normal hours.
Office space.
Funding.
I was wondering, one of the things that the law school students recommend is they actually don't speak unkindly about merging with the Dean of Students Office. They say it's a real possibility, but there needs to be a firewall somehow between the two. And the reason I think they say that is that they believe that some kinds of interactions, stimulated interactions, will make the office make the consequences work out better for the community, whether through. I was thinking along those lines whether at some point, and maybe this will be in the future, we want to suggest an Office of Community Conduct or something like that that's separate from the Office of Dean of Students, but in which your office functions, that has significant staffing and so forth. Maybe Ombudsman is a part of that same office. I don't know whether these are administratively possible, but then, because one of the things that happens right off with the law school recommendation, if it were to get in, is that we have a problem with staff and faculty right off, and
Well, I think we do address that a little bit.
Well, the reason why I'm saying this now at this point is that we talked about support, and we need to have a performance review questions, and who is it who does that? I thought the UA can do this, but the UA isn't in a position to do performance review with the with.
Which is why I suggested the ombudsman's office.
So that would be a president, and Charlie Walcott suggested last time a connection to the president's office in terms of a direct funding channel. Now,
that's
maybe
where we get our funding from now.
Yeah, but somehow enhancing that by making an office of community conduct would then have a, you know, a separate status, which then.
How is that different from?
I don't know the structure of the funding of the ombudsman office or how it's evaluated. Yeah,
it might also be able to provide consistency in other areas like academic integrity and stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't know either. But that would then make it would capture the spirit of the idea that the staff and faculty are together with students as a part of the community, as opposed to if the office were to go into the dean's student's office. And it would also present a possibility for a separate channel of evaluation, review, and so forth. The idea that the office, the JA's office, was evaluated by two people who were in dean of students or in as that to me should be it was not a mistake, but let's put it this way, it's because they were already committed to a system different than what's here.
You mean the external review?
Yeah.
Michelle and Penn reported straight to the provost. She wasn't part of the dean of students office.
The people who wrote the external review of the dean of students office are two folks who have a dean of students operation.
Oh, that's
different than the external review that Mary Beth offered that.
There were two.
But my understanding is also that the other schools didn't have a code that applied to faculty and staff.
Right.
So.
So what you're suggesting, Marty, is that we create a new office now?
No, I guess I should. All I'm saying is that I brought this up in the context of performance review and of funding channels and things like that. And it would be nice if there were a, maybe eventually we would recommend this, but to have a, enhance, I guess you could say, the status of the JA's office so that it wouldn't be entirely...
Well, on
its own.
Well,
perhaps
that's what we need to say, is somehow we need to enhance the administrative...
The independent status of the junior...
Administratively.
Yeah.
And I sort of get to that. Yeah. If we allow a dotted line of administrative oversight to a president's office or a vice president, and Susan, maybe you know how this would work, would that enhance the administrative in terms of getting money and support?
Well, it certainly provides... it provides a context in which that can happen. I mean, Mary Beth can right now go through, and does go through the president's office, but there's not... they probably go through a different process than the rest of us. If to use the model that I suggested, just for consideration, the audit office or the investment office, you know, when Steve Golden is putting together his budget request, he's working with that staff to say, what is it you need to work administratively? Now, they're going to be making their audit judgment or their investment decisions independent of Steve's direction.
So is that a dotted administrative line?
Probably. I mean, I was going to go look to see how it's structured, but I think that's right. I mean, I think,
okay.
You know, the auditor as the best example, he's got a direct line to the audit committee of the board, but administratively...
So maybe we want to say to enhance the administrative...
But who would the JA's office need?
Put it at the end.
Well, I think frankly you pick one. Because by virtue of the JA being responsible
structure.
For three, the Charlie, the Mary,
they might
the
be
and I think you actually just pick one for the purpose of administrative.
Create a dotted administrative line to a vice president, such as
Tommy.
What does the dotted administrative line mean?
It's a relationship and not a direct reporting relationship in terms of how we structure ourselves at the university. You have a boss.
Well, what is that? Like physically, what are you doing to create a non-administrative line? If you want to be specific about what you're implementing,
Administrative line actually means something in a flow chart, administrative.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That, and as Susan said, that you would be meeting regularly potentially with that person.
Oh, okay. So
through the dean's student's office.
That's one possibility.
Well, that's the problem. I don't think.
It should be DOS.
No, I.
To a vice president.
To a vice president's line. I don't know which one, and that's important
or
too.
Or provost.
I wonder if we're veering a little away from our core task, and if we're starting to recommend some policies that we really don't have the power.
Well, I think that these policies are not, I mean, this is all connected to, I mean, the independence is to make it more expedient, and you need to be more expedient because it's getting less efficient, and in order to become efficient again, you need more funding, and you need,
should we just say, insofar as the decision-making independence of the JA is not diminished, it would be prudent to look into better funding for managerial.
You can say something whatever. Like that, but I think we should be more specific now to get that process started.
And you sort of raised that in your summary, Jeff.
Yeah, I tried to, yeah.
Yeah, in the way you wrote.
So, Jeff, you wrote that?
Well, I guess the reason I brought it up is that I think there were several comments about why is it that and certainly the Krauss report, you know, makes case that it does it on the long lines of educational mission is better enhanced, and I wanted to suggest that's not, you know, the thing that we should emphasize, but I think we still should give some credence and strength to the problem of support, where the support comes from, so that it doesn't just continue to hang out there. We want to make some more.
Yeah, but I imagine that Steve Golding or someone who's in charge of the money would tell us, well, thanks for your advice, but this really isn't, you know, the solution isn't just to throw more money at the JA's office.
Well, I think
that can't be a solution.
The point is that if things were in place to fund the JA's office the way that it needs to be funded, then that would already be happening right now, and we wouldn't have questions about making things more expedient. So, I mean, sometimes
I'm not sure that this issue was solely resources, although I don't want to diminish the resource question, but it is, you know, some of the other issues that you've talked about, Marty, in terms of just the connection with information flow. And I think the question you may be grappling with right now is, in this first response to the UA, how specific do you want to be? Or do you basically want to say, preserve the independence of the JA for the purposes of adjudication, but recognize that there are administrative issues, funding, supervision, information provided that
there
needs to be addressed.
Finding supervision information.
Mm-hmm. And you would recommend that as part of your phase two,
right,
which is how to go about doing it.
Right.
So you're seeing it under the specific next step, but not at this point trying to answer that particular.
What was the third one, Susan?
Information flow.
The information flow. So Speaker Lewis's point of view that this independence doesn't fall back into an isolation when you have. Imagine you have a new JA who's starting all over again, and they're told that they're independent. Often that's where you see the isolation. It takes them several years to build up the relationship because they're so scared of violating the independence. Right now, it's not an issue because Mary Beth has built that up. So it's some of the points that Jeff sort of lays out in his second paragraph. And that's just one way that I'm hearing you describe it. You may want to go a different direction.
Look at Jeff's second paragraph or something.
Yeah.
In parentheses.
Yeah, and what I took from what you wrote, Jeff, is that it doesn't have to be totally reasonable. There may be some, taking the best approach.
Okay, we skipped right over the second bullet point. Is there anything we want to say to the second bullet point?
Let's go last.
Well, I
almost
think
one
you
word
might want to
without,
include
without one word, the second one.
One of the suggestions that I think probably originated in the CJC that made it into the crash report that subsequently was implemented was the merger of the peer and union review boards, and you might want to reiterate that.
It's been done.
That's been done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was done after the...
But this is talking about the JA's...
office.
Not the judicial... Not the judicial process.
Yeah.
I mean, Meredith, correct me if I'm wrong, you only hold up for a non-hearing judicial process in staffing. You don't have enough people to hear enough cases. Mm-hmm. You can move them through as fast as they can come in if you can set up appointments.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not the issue. The issue is when you have to have a hearing, you've got to convene a board, gotta hit it on winter breaks and on summer breaks. It's not easy to do.
But does that fall into the independence of the JA?
I'm just saying that's what that comment's about. So
then maybe you should be ready to move someone else.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you should.
I'll delete it and put it at the end. How's that?
Well, yes, because that'll be something we can talk about for future areas of work.
Oh, this is the parking lot.
Hello, somewhere, but not there.
Could you put next to that? I do want to, in the context of that, discuss the fact that some cases are now being heard in residence life. Is that right?
Right.
And my concern about that. No, the reason I think it has to do with the question of independence of the judicial system and the overlap or not of educational and adjudicative.
And staffing.
And staffing. And those things, I'm not saying I'm concerned about it because I think it should be abolished. I'm saying we need to discuss it in the context of what it is we think the role of the jury is.
To justify that.
Okay, is there anything else we want to put in here for now?
Let's just keep moving on.
Okay, parameters of the code.
I
did talk to one of our labor law teachers at the law school, asking if there was a law that said if you run into problems, you had to go through your supervisor if you did it while you were working. And I used the example of a parking police guy altering parking permits to allow people to have free parking. I thought that was a good one.
Put it on the bar.
And she told me there is no law that she knows of. There could be a policy here at Cornell. There could be a union, some sort of union agreement. But as far as she knows, there's no law that says things you do in your work need to go through your supervisor.
I think the law is that the supervisor needs to address them.
I don't know if it's a law or not, so I wouldn't even go there. I think the only context I heard was Mary talking in relation to harassment issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were in a whole different
right.
world,
that
and we shouldn't even be considering that as an example.
Right.
And that's the only comment I can remember.
I had always heard that if it's in your work,
well,
it would be in the code so much. If it's done during your work, it has to go through the process. And
work
related.
But work related, yeah.
Because there was some law that said it had to be. What I'm hearing is there is no law.
No, I think that's more a policy issue.
Yes, in the code.
An HR policy.
Because
what if I...
Can we put this in the parking lot?
If I alter my parking permit...
And
that
doesn't
get JA'd because you're not doing it as part of your job. But the parking police guy does it. It's part of his job.
Right.
Well, who would just definitely know one way or the other on this issue? I mean, we just talked about
the
JA. Wait a second. Hold on. I think we need to put this in the parking lot as an issue because, as I said earlier, I had two comments from two very different sectors of the campus by faculty members who had staff members, and one was engineering and one was the veterinary school, had staff members who had come to them saying, we're looking at the code and we think that there's grave injustices being done by having work-related matters being covered. And these weren't harassment issues being covered in the violations of the code being covered by supervisors.
So I think we need to raise it, but I think it's out of the, and that's why I didn't want to get into it directly.
Right. Well, we do address it a little bit in the parameters there, right?
Well, it says non-work related because present code covers only non-work related.
Right.
So we're not. This is an expansion.
I mean, there's nothing preventing you from doing that. It's redundant. A supervisor could choose to refer it on the basis of the action itself. It's just not as productive as working within your HR policy.
No, actually, the code says that if it's work-related, it goes back to the supervisor.
Right. And these were...
And if it's unclear, I need to consult either with Charlie or Mary.
Right.
These were complaints passed on to me. I kept saying to people, can't you even send them anonymously? And they said, absolutely not. They didn't want to put through any even anonymous comments.
Marty, I mean, not to take away any of their credibility or anything, but there's something else behind there. And that's
certainly there's an event or something.
I disagree. I think if they're willing to open up in front of the JA, but nobody else.
Well, there are staff members who feel too scared of.
But there are many other avenues they can go to aside from...
That's right, the ombudsman. And the ombudsman has been used in this purpose. I'm sorry, what? The ombudsman.
Oh, I was going to also say Lauren Jacoby's office. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what
that is. Staff and labor relations.
Yeah.
All right, so what you're saying is that they have a grievance, they should go to the ombudsman's office, but the problem... Anyway.
We got it in the parking lot, so let's move back up.
Does that capture it, Marty, at all? I just put two questions, kind of. Who?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would say for staff and faculty. Super.
Okay.
The issues for staff and faculty.
Which would be Mary herself if the supervisors aren't acting the way they should be and having the situation reported to them, and they have a supervisor and that person is a supervisor.
Well, that's been her discussion.
Mm-hmm.
There's no feedback about the supervisors.
Right.
There's no dialogue. Parameters of code. Shall treat all members of the Cornell community equally. Anybody have a problem with that? Although the vast majority of violations are by students, faculty and staff are also regularly.
Well, I mean, the reason why I said regularly is that every single year you have staff and faculty violations, right? And I said it was an average. So it is true that they're regular, but that doesn't contradict the fact that the vast 97 out of 100 cases are students. It's still true.
I just take out the regularly, because I think it implies...
Okay.
We're also referred for non-work related violations of the code. Here we go, see parking lot.
That's it.
What?
No,
I'm serious. I think we need to put in a comment say see parking lot, because we're going to need to come back to this. We don't have time.
Ooh, nice.
I missed. I don't like this.
Okay, so we'll come back to that non-work related. Having violations reported to three different constituencies, dean of students, dean of faculty, HR supervisors, where do the three different constituencies come
in? If we divide it, if students went to the JA, dean of faculty went to Charlie Walcott's office, HR...
Well, why would things go to the dean of faculty?
For faculty, well, faculty. Or a dean.
No, things go to...
Just a dean.
Deans.
College, dean of college.
Colleges.
I don't supervise anybody. Supervise me.
How about supervising me?
Well, it could be department head.
That would be under.
Well, this is a letter, not a code. So.
At the end of that sentence, here's an idea. Something that reads like, moreover, we doubt that department chairs and supervisors have the experience, time, or investigatory powers to sufficiently replace the JA.
No, when I read that in your suggestion, what came to mind is that they'd probably refer back to JA for help.
Yes, it is, but and that's why I don't think we is appropriate. I think that we could make the case that the public commentary pretty consistently said that.
Said that they do not have time.
That in other words, and plus it would be an addition.
I said the desire.
We'd have to have training, judicial training for all the different, and that it would result in inconsistent enforcement. They couldn't imagine it would result in consistent enforcement. I don't know whether you wrote it that way.
Code infraction.
Peggy.
Yeah.
One just point of clarification. We are only a private institution.
Okay.
Private institution. Okay.
Another thing, as I was reworking this stuff, is it compromises fairness. Again, I want it because that wasn't there. Like why?
Just put in a why, Peggy. Okay. At this point, it's about 4:45. Have fun and it's time to how would you propose that we move forward at this point? Do you all want to take a stab at
I think
another
that we should do rounds of drafts. I don't think it's productive to have 8 different drafts. I think it's most productive if we give it to somebody, they change things, we give it to a second person, they change things. Everybody sees the progression of the draft. And I think that would be the most efficient way.
Isn't there a way to just put this on a network server and just have everybody track the changes?
If we did it through a wiki, that could work.
Could we put this up as a private wiki that you'd have to log into?
Yeah, sure. Do you want the reading to be private as well?
Yeah, because we're in draft.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, private to whomever we allow.
We can do that.
Then you've got one document that anybody at any time can...
I guess I'm just
And all the
thinking,
changes are tracked.
Huh? And all the changes are tracked.
I'm just thinking
it's
that...
It's messy, but...
Sorry?
I can understand the desire to have one working copy, but at the same time, I wonder whether it might not also be good for each person or any of you to... present your initial position on everything and ideas. Because, once you start with a draft, the ideas expressed in that draft become kind of assumed.
I disagree.
No,
that's correct. The whole point of having the wiki is that you edit it, you can add comments to your edit, you can have a talk page where you discuss specific edits. I mean, that's exactly why wiki works.
Okay.
I like it.
So we can get this up on a wiki and you'll email us to know how to get onto it, or?
Sure.
Okay.
So it's basically running like a private blog.
No, it'll be a wiki. So a blog is basically you post comments and they sort of get consecutively lined up. A wiki is, I wish we could record my hand gestures here. A wiki is you have documents online and anybody can go around and change them. They can delete things. They can move them around.
Kind of take an entry on a wiki.
If you delete anything, you put it in.
Well, all the
history
changes
of changes
are
is
correct. All the drafts are tracked.
Okay.
This is only. How much more is there of this? Because
not very much. We're near the end of things.
But why is that?
You're
why is
on
the
page
bar all the
2
way up
of
there?
7.
Yes, but does
why
this incorporate the other?
Yeah,
no,
it's not comments.
Because then Arthur and Jeff.
Right.
Okay, good. Now, the reason I asked.
Then we're to Jeff.
But are we doing Jeff's or are we working right now?
We're working on Jeff's.
Good. Okay. The second thing is, I think we ought to think, here's where Ari is. I think at the end of this, in the parking lot should be moved up then to the bottom
right.
of it.
So
and in the parking lot, there should be a list of things based that we are thinking about and that we've got a lot of community comment on that we would like to proceed on discussing, in the future. Like, for example, the mixture, the merging of titles 2 and 3. And we ought to address what the community had to say about right to remain silent. We ought to address, but I'm saying underneath our fulfilling of our goal.
And that's what those last four paragraphs.
Where?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I hadn't seen this before.
Some interesting pieces in it. I think what you're suggesting, Marty, is just.
I think it was
based on
I think we ought to expand them all. Yeah, we ought to say.
Louis, did you leave my part of that end?
I'm sorry. What was your part?
I
never deleted anything in terms of content.
Okay.
So Jeff can be taken out, Peggy, because this is a new document, and Jeff is elsewhere. It can get formally incorporated.
I don't have Jeff's, and I don't have. Where is this?
Well, they were attached.
They were attached to the bottom of the Tory draft.
Yeah. I didn't get the Tory draft.
Oh, it's in today's email.
Okay, I just got back from Boston.
You should delete it.
Wait,
and
I
got
apparently
ours.
Keep going.
Okay. So, if you want all these changes tracked, we'll have to do this a little differently.
Do we want all the ones we did today tracked?
Oh, I think they're already.
Yeah, they're already.
They're already tracked. But I mean, pretty soon this is going to be on the wiki. I'm sure that it's going to.
We'll take that out.
About an hour or two. So.
Yeah.
I would just wait
until
they see
sorry,
online.
Sorry, when we take this, just only take down through the parking lot. We just cut it over.
Okay.
I don't know how these track changes are going to transfer, though. They probably won't.
Well,
it would be easier if you
all
said
all the changes that are currently there.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
Implement all the changes that are there and then send it.
Okay. It's not well written.
If you go under tools.
No.
Yeah, but we're not
going to accept changes.
Accept all changes.
Accept all. Third button.
That would be it.
Oh, undo.
Yeah.
All right. So I imagine one of the first things we'll go through is just technical stuff. And
right.
Yeah.
I noticed
you,
there were a lot of.
Do you want access?
No.
Bring out. I'm just asking the question.
No,
I mean,
I should be the committee.
Well, you're welcome to join us next Monday when we continue this.
And we are in the boardroom next week.
Oh,
we couldn't get down here, so we're in the boardroom next week.
But do we have the wires and everything?
Yeah, they're even more well.
So one thing I would just say from the various versions, and again, Jeff, I appreciate some of your comments on this. In this chat about the off-campus stuff, there's a big difference with what the Tory draft gives at off-campus and where Jeff went with his comments and some suggestions. So I guess would point that out to you guys as you work your way through that last four paragraphs. So I thought Jeff had some good language in there about how to think about this question.
Great.
But
great.
You acknowledge that need is your next step, but I think had some good ways to frame it.
Great.
Okay, Kathy, did you know?
Yeah, something real quick. I went to the law website and printed out, it's four pages. It's the different laws that pertain to Cornell Police's authority on campus, because there is no off-campus authority. But there have been some questions raised, particularly if the code gets moved off campus, what then would the university police be asked to do or be able to do? So I made 10 copies of it. Anybody wants to take a stack of it? It's two of them are from the education law, and two of them are from criminal procedure law. And it's good information. There were a lot of questions raised around it. It's as far as legal statutes go, they're fairly easy to read. But basically, long and the short of it is, if Cornell doesn't own, operate, and maintain it, Cornell Police don't have any authority there. So it doesn't matter if the code extends beyond, it must be by College Town. At the way the statute's written now, we don't have any authority at College Town, even if the code goes over there.
But didn't Barbara Krauss talk about getting contact with the local, you know,
right,
with
it would
local
be local
police.
Law enforcement that would have to then.
And there'd have to be a stronger liaison relationship.
They're oriented staff. So
and that presidential power exists too, Mary.
That's something that we need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Probably
you
should be on our
list.
Oh, okay. He's with something.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody.
And by the way, the other question, Jim Mingle's office did send us that Barbara had researched the whole thing on
right.
Henderson Law, which I sent to Kathleen and Marty.
And I think I sent
that
out.
That was doable.
I only have, yes, I only have.
Yes. And if there are any other legal questions, they're more than happy to respond, but they want to do it in writing.
Well, I think
I can't help him and ask him. Oh.
I can forward it to you.
And just make sure that the whole thing can be published, that there isn't any, you know.
He said that. It's not the whole thing, it's only...
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.